Welcome to 2017 on the Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. Joe.
Howdy.
We haven't done one in a couple weeks. You know why?
Not since way back in 2016.
It was last year. We got benched.
Did we?
Just like Rajon Rondo.
Oh.
It's a good... That's professional.
That's how you get right into the news.
We didn't actually get benched, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, there's no one to... There's no backups. We're the whole squad. So.
Definitely true. Yeah, no. Did you have a nice break?
I did.
Got some time off. Got to recharge. Football season's over, which is, well,
yeah,
kind of. You've still
got playoffs.
It's
simplified, though,
yeah.
Because, you know, when there's one game on, one storyline to worry about per 4 hours, much easier than trying to watch everything.
Yeah, that's the football season for me is done. I can stop thinking about football. Now I only have to worry about two sports, which is exactly the same as what it was before. But, you know, it's the beginning of the baseball.
Yeah, once baseball, though. So, I mean, you really only have to worry about one sport and then whatever you consider baseball, you know.
That's going to – shots fired. Shots fired. Yeah. But 2016 was a good year. 2017 hopefully will be a good year.
Yeah.
Well, 2016 was a –
It was a good sports year.
It was a good sports year.
One of the best sports years.
Yeah, it was great. But, great finals, great World Series.
Outside of the sports category.
I don't remember
category.
The Super Bowl.
Broncos.
Oh, that was kind of a...
beat the Panthers.
It was kind of gross.
It was
game.
Good in theory. The game itself wasn't good.
It was
but,
close.
Right. It's hard. With football, you don't even count. Like, that was like last year. That was like 2015
that was
for football. You
ago.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. So, but... we're back. We got basically the second half of the NBA season, second half of the fantasy season. You're probably halfway through your fantasy season. How are your teams doing, Joe?
I'm at the point where, like, I know what my teams are.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was a lot of optimism beginning of the year and then a little bit of pessimism. Like, oh, maybe they're not as good. And I'm like, okay, no, I'm middle of the pack in two leagues and then I'm killing it in the 30 team. Like, I think I have the best team, which
my team sucks.
I'm very thrilled about the 30 team because obviously if you win a 30 team, I don't know, it could go either way. It's like either you're the super luckiest or the super most skilled. So
I'm always bad in the 30 team league.
I had been, but now I'm good at diagnosing, you know, guys who are going to get an effective 14 minutes per game or something like that. But
I am in one of the leagues that we have, I'm 3-7. It's really bad, and I bet on the wrong guys in that league. I'm looking at my team. I've got Rajon Rondo. Mm. I've got Nerlens Noel. I've got Chandler Parsons. So that kind of explains a large part of why. And I guess we can get right into the Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo benched by the Chicago Bulls. Was benched at halftime a couple games ago. Just flat out benched. Did not come into the game in their most recent game. Michael Carter-Williams stepped into the starting lineup for him. And it's a bad situation because Rondo, we knew it was going to be an awkward fit in Chicago, and it's not surprising that it has been. The problem is where you look around the league, he has, you know, said he will ask for a trade if they don't bring him back into the starting lineup or play him. And you look around the league, where would Rajon Rondo start?
It didn't seem like they had a backup plan when they did this, which was like kind of the craziest thing. It's like, okay, well, you know, you're losing Derrick Rose, who you were paying too much and didn't do enough and, you know, was always going to try and be the focal point. And you're getting, like, who's seen as maybe, like, a sneaky sort of underrated guy in Rondo. But then it was like, okay, well, at least have a plan for, you know, if this doesn't work, we can trade him for whatever. We have a shooter to come in behind him.
And that's the biggest thing.
You know, exactly.
They got, like... you could see when they were building this team, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, like that could potentially work.
It's a lot of talent.
But it was going to be an awkward fit, and there was a chance that it just wouldn't work, that there just wouldn't be enough shooting, their playmaking abilities between the three of them wouldn't make up for it. And in that situation, you would think, like, well, maybe the skill set doesn't fit. We should get, like you said, a backup plan, a guy who could at least you know, come off the bench and give you a different look. And instead, their backup is Michael Carter-Williams, who's just a worse version of Rajon Rondo.
They could have had a lot of flexibility if they – right. If they kind of didn't go all in on this just, like, talent backcourt. If they were going to say, okay, we're going to, like, split up Wade and Rondo so they're never on the court at the same time. And when Rondo's on the court, we'll have, like, a rangy corner shooter and we'll move Butler to the two.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Wade is on the court, we'll have a defensive – minded point guard who doesn't need the ball, but they don't have any of that.
Yeah, and so it's a situation where Rajon Rondo is benched, Michael Carter Williams steps in the starting lineup, and for fantasy purposes, it's not really a move that has me very excited. I guess you can go add Michael Carter Williams.
Nah, I mean, you can, but
yeah, but what's the point? Like
Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler dominate that team. Like, I mean, Dwayne Wade's usage rate is probably
Dwayne Wade's usage rate is higher than Jimmy Butler.
There you go,
which is not ideal.
Best player on the team doesn't even have the highest usage rate. So how is the fifth best player going to get?
And you know, you look at Carter Williams, and if he's playing off the ball, he's not giving you anything. So he's about 30% owned in CBSSports.com leagues. If you want to take a flyer and see maybe if he can get back to filling up the box score, fine. But
yeah, it's just the problem is you have this image of him in Philadelphia just like doing everything and being super athletic and rangy and pre-injury and all this kind of stuff. But the Bulls are a slow, plodding, like I can't see what his potential is.
What do you do with Rondo, though? If you own Rondo, I own Rondo, and I was looking at the waiver wire trying to make a move. There are some guys that I wanted to pick up, but I couldn't quite bring myself to drop Rajon Rondo. Do you think that's a mistake?
No, I think in a points league, absolutely don't drop him, because obviously assist bonus. But you know, in your roto league, I think you could probably drop him. It's not the name is really the only thing keeping you.
Yeah.
Like you think some team out there might be like, all right, well, let's take a flyer on Rondo, but I can't think of a team that would do that. Maybe a contender. If it's like a backup point guard, like, you know, kind of a specialist off the bench.
I mean, I'm using him in my guard slot. He's averaging 7.2 points, 7.1 assists, 6.5 rebounds, 1.3 steals. And it's like, those are decent numbers, but, you know, really it's just the assists that are helping you out at this point when he was playing.
Yeah.
And he was shooting 37% from the field, 54% from free throw line. So, and he's only taken 24 free throws in 29 games, which is insane. And it's just, you look at it and all of a sudden he's a one-category guy who hurts you in a lot of places in a category-based league. I don't see any reason to even hang on to him.
No, and if anything, it'll just be a headache to, like, yeah, you can just cut bait with him now and be, like, done with it. You know, if it'd be one thing if the Bulls made moves to free up space for Rondo, but that's not going to happen. They just benched him, so best case for him, he goes to a contender and comes off the bench. But, I mean, even then, that's not sounding like a great fantasy option.
Yeah, I mean, you look around the league and you try to figure out which teams would he definitely be an upgrade at point guard.
Well, even we were just doing this with Goran Dragic, and it's like Goran Dragic is clearly better than Rondo. But you still can't think of a team that's like, got to have Dragic. You know what I mean?
He might be a better – he's probably a better player than Malcolm Brogdon or Matthew Dellavedova. But he's not a fit in Milwaukee.
And the other thing is like the off the court stuff. And I, you know, not that I know a ton about Rondo's personality, but everything you hear and see,
he's difficult.
Yeah. So if a contender were to take like the Spurs, could probably use a ball handling point guard. You know, Tony Parker's career is pretty much done. Like they don't, you know, Patty Mills isn't really a point guard.
Yeah.
But would Pop and would that culture take a chance on a guy like Rondo? Or the same with the Warriors. The Warriors could bring him off the bench or something.
Or on the other hand, you know, I saw someone suggest maybe Philadelphia. I don't think Philadelphia wants to bring him into their culture. I don't think Denver wants to either. And those are the two teams that I would think for sure he's an upgrade on.
Yeah, like, you know, teams that could, I don't know, value something that he brings, but
And so once you start doing it, once you start looking at it that way, it's just hard to justify hanging on to Rondo beyond just the fact that he's a name.
Yeah.
So
I guess there's a sliver of hope that he talks to coaches, GM, figures out his role, buys in. You know, like Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler, they're high usage players, but they're not like bad dudes to play with. Like you could conceivably see a way where guys with that much talent figure out a way to mesh, but
we've seen 30 plus games of it. That was the thought before the season.
Yeah.
And 30 plus games in, it's clearly not working. I think Rajon Rondo is definitely droppable in pretty much every fantasy league.
Yeah, like I said, points league, maybe hang on to him just in case. Goes to a bad team, racks up assists, but otherwise he doesn't do much for you.
Let's get to some of the other news heading into Fantasy Week 11. Damian Lillard dealing with an ankle injury. He's questionable for Tuesday. He did put in a full workout on Saturday at practice, so I think there's a chance he could be back. I would probably keep him in my starting lineup. CJ McCollum has averaged 30 points, 5 assists, and 1.5 steals per game with Damian Lillard missing those four games. He has a usage rate of almost 37 in those games, so he's been playing exceptionally well.
What do you think of this combo? And because the Blazers are in a tough spot, they kind of maybe need to make a trade.
Yeah.
Do you think Lillard and McCollum split up?
Yeah, I don't think it works long term. I mean, you've got two guys who Lillard is probably average size for a point guard, but he's not a good defender. CJ McCollum is an undersized two who's not a strong defender. They've got tons of shooting. I think offensively it works, but
yeah,
they're a little redundant.
I would agree.
It wouldn't surprise me if they swung a big trade, tried to move.
Because I think it's like there's some deadline with McCollum's where like his money
maybe
for his new contract comes into play, because I think like they can't trade him yet or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there. Anytime a player signs an extension, I think that's the poison pill, where if you trade them, it counts against the new cap for next year, something like that. So there is probably some kind of awkwardness there, but it really just they're not good.
No.
It's not Lillard or McCollum's fault, but they're kind of locked into this.
There's not much
core.
Either of them can do yeah. to lift the team, and McCollum's a great asset right now. I feel like he could be yeah. he could be some trade bait.
The Miami Heat are I think they only had 9 players active for yesterday's game. Hassan
yeah,
Whiteside was out, Goran Dragic was out, Justice Winslow was out. It's really interesting. What do you none of those sound like super serious injuries. I guess Dragic has missed a little more time. Mm-hmm. But Winslow, it was a surprise that he was scratched with that shoulder injury. Are you starting those three guys in week 11?
Maybe Whiteside.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like something you can kind of bounce back from. Back with Dragic is a little worrisome
yeah.
because he'll like go and try to play and then he'll act up. And mm-hmm. like, you know, the Heat aren't going anywhere. And a healthy Dragic is the only way that a Dragic is getting traded. So
yeah.
I would start Whiteside. But the other two, I think... You know, if you have deep guards.
I mean, Winslow is fringy
yeah.
as is.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably weren't starting him anyways. But I don't know. Just read the tea leaves with Dragic, because when he plays, he's great. But
yep.
he might miss the next game because he played the first night of a back-to-back or something.
Deion Waiters is potentially traveling with the team on an upcoming road trip, so they could get him back. That's bad news for probably Josh Richardson and Tyler Johnson. It'll be interesting to see what the Heat do with Deion Waiters, because Josh Richardson is starting to figure it out after a really slow start. Tyler Johnson's playing well, so it'll be really interesting to see, because Deion Waiters was playing well for fantasy, at least.
Yeah, this Heat team reminds me of the Lakers, like, I forget, how maybe 2 years ago or something. They just have, like, a bunch of guards who kind of
yeah.
do a little of everything. They'll kind of mix it up which ones actually get
yeah.
the bulk of the minutes and the stats, so it's definitely, you want some Heat players, but I wouldn't bank on them.
Yeah, it's tough. Chris Paul, doubtful for Monday. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury. We know how tricky those can be. He's missed 5 of the last 6, so he is definitely a risky start for week 11. Jeremy Lin, at this point, it's really tough to own Jeremy Lin. He
Talk
aggravated
about
that hamstring.
Aggravated.
Yeah, aggravated for sure. Remains without a timetable. The Nets do insist that this one is not as serious as the last one, but it's just... Are you still waiting for Jeremy Lin at this point?
Yeah, I think he's like 95% owned.
Yeah.
But, you know, if anyone drops him, scoop him up. Like, mm-hmm. that's might be coming to that. But, you know, even when he's been in, though, he hasn't been blowing
you
away.
He hasn't
really.
Been as good as we expected. I mean, he's only playing 25 minutes per game, 14 points, 5.8 assists, 1.3 steals. Those are good numbers. It's just he hasn't been able to play a full role yet. If he gets to 30 minutes per game, I think he's going to be a must-start guy, but it's just, it's really tough right now with him. And
we've seen injuries bother him in the past,
yeah.
where it's just, he's got to get to a place where he gets over it all before
yeah.
you can really buy into him. But, yeah, you can't drop him. Can't
yeah.
do anything like that.
Evan Fournier has missed 4 games with a heel injury. Jody Meeks has been playing and just kind of doing Jody Meeks thing, scoring 9 to 13 points per game, hitting some three-pointers, not really doing anything else. He's just a very low-end guy. I wouldn't start Evan Fournier this week, but I'm not rushing out to get Jody Meeks either. And, man, George Hill just can't stay healthy.
Poor George.
He is just snake-bitten. I think he had just come back from that foot injury and gets a concussion. Mm. And it just, he's without a timetable, going through the concussion protocol. It's a situation where he can't play until he's cleared. You can't start him. Until then, he played two games. His
Which
first
is a,
game.
A bummer because the Jazz play five times this week.
Yeah, he played. He came back from that injury, played 29 minutes in the first game, had 21 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, a
and you're
block,
like, George Hill's back!
2 3-pointers, all that on 10 field goal attempts. And then he gets hurt in the very next game, and it just, it's been that kind of season for George Hill. You can't drop him, but it's a frustrating situation. Dante Exum also out with a knee injury, so Shelvin Mack should start and get plenty of opportunities. Like you said, the Jazz play 5 times in Week 11. And he is averaging 12 points, 2 boards, and 4 assists per game in his 6 starts. I think he's probably a must-start guy this week.
Even without the strong schedule, he's like the perfect streaming option because he's the kind of guy that no matter what the game dictates, he'll find a way to be statistically useful.
Yeah.
It's like he can dish when he needs to, but obviously if Hayward's controlling the ball, he can spot up and shoot. He can get steals. Like he's pretty useful.
I wanted to look at some of the December standouts, some guys who ranked much more highly than I think most people would have expected in the month of December, and talk about their value moving forward. The first one, Serge Ibaka was the number 14 player in Rota in the month of December, averaged 16.4 points, 6.9 boards, 1.6 assists, 2.1 blocks, and 1.7 three-pointers made. What do you make of Serge Ibaka at this point?
I'm loving it. I just worry that if he gets traded, it'll kind of ruin it because I think he's found his footing in Orlando. But on the flip side, if somebody else gets traded, it could just be even better for him. So
yeah.
I think he's, you know, you got him at a nice price and he's killing it for you. So trade question, which side do you rather have? Ibaka and Nick Batum, also been playing great.
Playing exceptionally well, averaging 18, 9, and 8 over the last 5 games.
So those two or Kawhi Leonard?
Ooh.
See, I try to pick, like, for all the, every standout you bring up, I'm going to bring a 2-for-1 trade because these are all guys who you got a pretty decent price and maybe you want to sell high and go for, like, a first-round value for them. But it's kind of risky because you could give up a lot of depth.
I'd probably still keep Kawhi. I'd rather have Kawhi. So if I could get Kawhi for those two guys, I would do it. But that is an interesting one.
Yeah, because the blocks are there. I mean, he's similar body type to Batum, and Ibaka is just playing so well. Maybe you're worried it doesn't last. But
yeah, and Batum's been very up and down over the last couple of seasons. Even since getting to Charlotte, his shot has come and gone.
Yeah. So who's next in your standouts?
Nikola Jokic.
Oh, he's standing out.
Yeah, finally has.
It's crazy. You give a guy with a ton of upside minutes and he like does well. Just
you play
breaking.
Your best player a bunch of minutes and don't jerk him around in the rotation. And I get that the Denver was in a tough situation with him and Nurkic and Fareed. And it was just a tough situation, but they figured it out. He was the number 21 player in Roto in the month of December, averaged 17 points, 8.8 rebounds, 4.9 assists. Not even playing huge minutes either. Only 25.7 minutes per game. His per-minute numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, best passer on that team, right?
I don't think there's any question. He's kind of, you know, obviously he doesn't handle the ball bringing it up the court, although every once in a while he will.
He'll try. It looks pretty funny, but he makes it work.
But they'll put him up at the elbow like Marc Gasol and run the offense around him, and it's worked out. It's made Emmanuel Mudiay play better. Gary Harris adding some shooting for them has been huge as well. And he's playing like a top 10 center like we were hoping.
Congrats if you didn't.
If you dropped him, that's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
What's your trade question with Jokic?
Okay, Jokic and Ryan Anderson or Draymond Green?
I would rather have Anderson and Jokic,
right?
Yeah.
Because Draymond does what he does, but, I mean, Jokic has pretty much Draymond-type upside without the three-pointers, but that's why you'd have Ryan Anderson.
I will say I'm looking at my trade values column, and Draymond Green is worth 36 in Roto. Jokic and Anderson are worth 37. So there you go.
Even. Yeah, Ryan Anderson, you know, he's whatever, but if you can add depth for a Draymond, yeah, like that kind of thing.
Ryan Anderson, elite three-point shooter, doesn't really give you much else. The big thing with Jokic, you're taking a hit in the defensive categories with those two guys, but Jokic can help make up for the assist that you're losing with Draymond Green, which is a big thing that he brings to the table.
And like you said, per minute, so you think if this trend continues and they finally realize, like, all right, we're like not, you know, we're a pretty decent team when he when he's in the lineup, so maybe his minutes even go up.
Third player, Eric Gordon. This is ridiculous.
Your boy.
He's averaging 18.8 points, 2.2 rebounds, 3.4 assists in the month of December, 4.4 three-pointers made. I believe I saw the stat. The Chicago Bulls as a team made 12 more three-pointers than Eric Gordon in the month of December.
Go Bulls.
He was the number 44 player in Roto. He has been everything I hoped for. One of the few players that I drafted pretty much across the board who's actually
lived up to my... It's crazy that he's a top 50 player and he averages two assists and three rebounds. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how much ahead of the pack he is with three-point volume.
I believe he leads the NBA in three-pointers made, or he's battling with Steph Curry. Those two are going back and forth. So
speaking of Steph Curry, do you rather have Eric Gordon and John Wall or Steph Curry?
Gordon and Wall.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like, nothing wrong with what Steph Curry's doing, but he's just not Steph Curry of the last 2 years on this new version of the Warriors.
He's still in the discussion for the best player in fantasy because his efficiency numbers are still so great. But, you know, over the last couple of years, what's interesting is everybody else on the Warriors seems to have basically, like, hit the same level that they were at last year for the most part, except for Steph Curry. He's kind of taken a step back, which is weird. Like, he's been basically what he was in 2014-15. When he won the MVP with 100 of 130 first place votes. So let's not overreact too much to Steph Curry this season. But, you know, when you look at, you know, who the best player in fantasy this season is, you've got Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, LeBron James. You've got Kevin Durant in that discussion. Steph Curry's in that discussion, but he's maybe third or fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
Rather than number one where he's been the last couple of years.
And I think, too, like, you know, including John Wall on a trade like this, like, just the way the Warriors share the ball and stuff, like, we've seen Steph in the past get to 10 assists, or we've seen him get to, you know, flirting with 30 points per game. And now he's, like, settled very much in between those where, you know, 7 assists and 25 points from him is, like, a great night.
And he's not handling the ball nearly as much.
No,
his dribbles are way down. His touches are way down. I think I saw... his touches per, or his minutes per game with the ball in his hands last year was 5.6 minutes per game. This year it's 4.8. That's a pretty big drop from 1 year to the next.
Yeah, and, you know, Eric Gordon, do you think these threes are sustainable? Kind of seems like it in this offense. So he's always been a great shooter. I think we've always kind of slept on that fact.
Yeah, maybe not 4.4 3-pointers.
Do you think he stay above 4? Or near 4?
He's at 3.7 for the season.
I think they're the only two that average 4, right?
He's at 3.7 right now. I think he could maybe get to 4 for the rest of the season. In that offense, you do always have to be concerned about the injuries, although it's worth noting, I think he hasn't had a knee injury since the end of the 2014 season. It's actually been the shoulder and the wrist over the last couple of years, so that's encouraging. He has been... I think like a 42% or a 41% 3-point shooter since the start of the 2013 season. So he's definitely a marksman from out there, and it's a great offense for him.
Yeah, and he has limitless, like, he doesn't need to be anywhere near the 3-point line to pull.
Our fourth player, number 42 in Roto in the month of December. This one's surprising. He missed a little bit of time. So this is on a per game basis. Nick Young. 15.7 points, 2.2 boards, 1.0 rebounds. Not great numbers, but 3.4 three-pointers made, 1.1 steals. Shooting 49% from the field, which is surprising. Nick Young playing really well.
Yeah. Our Scott White always targets threes and steals in the rotisserie drafts because he claims that those are the guys who get undervalued because and those are the two stats that can, like, kind of change your... And Scott White just beat me in the Trust the Process League, so... Scott White knows what he's doing in fantasy basketball, but...
I keep losing 5-4 in that league every week.
Yeah, it's at least there's no ties in that league, is there?
No.
That's nice. Yeah. I just tied in a points league. That's the most frustrating thing ever.
I lost by two in a points league. I lost like 8-42.
That might be a little more frustrating.
8-44.
You know, I'd rather lose. Screw it. I just don't want to look at an exact point tie.
So what do you think of Nick Young?
It's hard to really think anything of him. We've always known who he is. Mm-hmm. The three-point volume is carrying his value. The steals are nice, but I don't know. Do you think, like, he can keep up three threes per game? Like, the Lakers don't seem like a team that is, like, Lou Williams, who has a huge usage rate and lots of young players who need the ball.
I look at him and I'd still rather have, like, Wesley Matthews or J.J. Redick among the kind of specialist three-point shooter guys.
It's a good streaming option because you know he's going to do what he does.
Yeah, definitely someone worth owning, but I don't think...
Streaming starts, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
He has more starts than player A. You can go with him.
Exactly.
But I had a little Nick Young thing. So Nick Young and Will Barton or Evan Fournier?
I would take the latter. I love me some Evan Fournier.
Right.
But I would rather have... or the former, I guess. I would rather have Nick Young and Will Barton. Although Will Barton, I'm a little worried about. I like the idea of trading him.
Okay. Because I just figured that was pretty even since Evan Fournier's got the threes and the playmaking. Yeah. Barton's kind of got the playmaking. Nick Young's got the threes. Yeah, I wouldn't put too much stock in the Nick Young thing, but if you've got him, go ahead and keep using him while they're giving him the ball.
And how about this last one? Number 62 in Roto in the month of December. Ersan Ilyasova, 16.7 points, 7.6 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 2.4 three-pointers made.
You kicking yourself for not calling this one? I mean, when that trade happened, we were like, yeah, we've been trying to make Ilyasova happen for 3 years. It's not happening.
I mean.
And he was like, just you wait. Now my team is bad enough for me to shine.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I didn't expect them to play him this much over Dario Saric. I expect Dario Saric to be more ready than he has been. Saric's role has really decreased, and maybe we should have seen it coming. It was a good fit. It's a good opportunity for him, but he is a three-point shooter on a team that desperately needs it.
And he has, like, so much gusto. It's like all these young kids on the Sixers team, and he's like, I will shoot. Like, when I'm in, I'm going to fire away.
But the problem, he's been so inconsistent in his career, too. Like, there are times when he just disappears for long stretches, and that's what's tough with me. I would look to trade Ersan Ilyasova if I could.
Would you rather have him or Thaddeus Young? That was another guy who, like, will shoot.
Yeah, he's rediscovered his three-point range a little bit this season, 1.2 per game in the month of December.
Both of them might get you some blocks.
Yeah, I would definitely feel more comfortable counting on Thaddeus Young for the secondary numbers beyond scoring and shooting. I think I'd rather have Thaddeus Young.
Yeah, you just got to figure the Sixers' front court situation is going to move away from Ilyasova no matter what, since they have so many young players.
He's averaging 30 minutes per game in the month of December, so who knows. All right, let's talk about some of the guys you should be picking up and some guys that you can go ahead and get rid of heading into Week 11. We talked about the Heat. There's a couple guys on this list. Josh Richardson, 16, 3.4 points, 4.8 assists per game over the last five. He's playing really well. Is he someone that you need to go out and add?
No, not for me. Because
it's tough.
He just the things that he's going to bring to the game aren't fantasy things. Like, his stat lines might reflect that he's like getting more of a larger role. But
yeah, for this, it's more just usage, right?
Yeah,
now.
he's an intangibles kind of guy and has an okay shot.
Yeah,
but I can't see him being somebody you really want.
And the big thing is just that he's doing this with so many guys out. And what's he going to look like when, they don't have to start Rodney Magruder
and
at
the
point guard?
And the Heat are a terrible team, but they are a visibly, visibly terrible team when Josh Richardson has to carry them statistically.
Yeah, he's an interesting piece long term, but I'm not even sure
he's the kind of guy that last year he was much more valuable because maybe even for fantasy because on a good team – sort of his intangibles rise to the occasion, and he's always wide open for three. Like, he can get you some sneaky steals because the defense is better, but as a focal point, I don't think he's that guy.
What about James Johnson? 52% owned? 51% owned in CBSSports.com leagues. He's playing really well right now. I know you're a bit. He's scored 20 points in consecutive games for the Heat.
Yeah.
I know you're a big James Johnson guy.
I mean,
what do you think of James Johnson?
I'd probably take him over everyone on this list except for Harrell.
Okay.
Who's next on your list? I mean, yep. It's kind of. That's like an interesting choice because they're both in the 50s in ownership. But just the Heat are so bad and so injury-riddled and so shallow in the front court. Like the fact that if James Johnson played shooting guard, obviously we don't care because there's like a million shooting guards. But he's a forward. And he gets you a block every now and then.
He's averaging over the last 10
games. His playmaking is coming up too.
14 points, 5.7 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 1.4 combined blocks and steals per game. Shooting 51% from the field. He's giving you some three-pointers.
That's the craziest thing. It's like
1.2 three-pointers per game, 37.6%.
I know he'll play some defense. I know he'll try to distribute. He'll get rebounds, by default just for being a huge guy in there. The shooting is really the thing where he's kind of playing over his head right now because he's shooting so much and a lot of his threes are going in. So, but I mean the fact that he's shooting the threes is kind of cool because the Heat are a terrible shooting team and he's going to continue to get looks. So, I think he should be more in the 70s for ownership.
Like you said, Montrezl Harrell, 58% owned right now. I think that should be higher. I would assume it will be in the wake of his big 29-point game the other night. The big thing for him, I think he's one game away from getting center eligibility. Or he may have hit that mark with their most recent game.
That would be nice because you probably...
Four starts at center, so
like
one
I picked him up as a Capella replacement, and the fact that he was eligible for both was very nice.
Yeah.
So him getting that could be
not
cool.
Going to give you much rebounding, not going to give you much in the defensive categories, although I think there's some potential. He's a 6'8 guy playing center, so you're not going to get a ton of rim protection from him as a Capella replacement. But he's scoring really efficiently. I think he's shooting 70-plus percent since moving into the starting lineup. Most of his shots come within 3 feet of the rim. Playing with James Harden really helps him there.
Yeah, it's like the difference between this team and the Wizards. It's like when Markieff Morris has a bad game, it's like 8 points and nothing else. When Harrell has a bad game in this system, it'll be like 12.6 boards. Okay. So like they're just always going to afford him opportunities.
Malcolm Brogdon, the most added player in CBSSports.com leagues over the last week, 64%. Starting for Matthew Dellavedova right now, I think he's the best Rondo replacement if you're looking for one right now. He reminds me a little bit of Josh Richardson last year in terms of shooting the lights out, 44% from three. I don't know if that's sustainable, but he's someone who... He's big and long for a point guard, has a little bit of point guard ability, has been fantasy relevant even before his move into the starting lineup. But in his two starts, you're looking at 26 points combined, 16 assists, 15 rebounds. Now, part of that was a big triple-double against the Bulls, but he looks really good right now.
And it's just, you said, it reminds me of Josh Richardson. I think that's a great comparison because if Josh Richardson was on this Bucks team, he would be a much better fantasy option. Not that the Bucks team is, good, but they're not bad, and they have their pieces in place where he can just kind of fill in the cracks.
I think Brogdon weirdly benefits from the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo does so much of the playmaking because he gets a lot of – and Dellavedova was doing the same thing. He gets a lot of those secondary opportunities where, Giannis creates – Brogdon gets to play against a defense that's scrambling, and that makes his job easier because he's not a true point guard in that sense. But he's 64% owned, someone that I think that should be a lot higher, at least as long as Matthew Dellavedova is sidelined. And I'll throw out Robert Covington's only 73% owned. He's the least exciting player in the world, but his shot has rebounded. He gives you three-pointers, gives you defense. He occasionally goes off for a big scoring game. And we haven't talked at all about Joe Ingles, but he's playing really...
Three-point ace, Joe Ingles.
Yeah, the best three-point shooter in the NBA right now, I believe.
It's because he...
49.5%.
He does it in such a limited capacity, but he's effective.
1.4 makes per game, 2.9 attempts in 19.6 minutes, and over the last five, he's averaging 26.2 minutes per game, only giving you 8.8 points, but... 2.2 three-pointers, 3.0 assists, only 1.4 turnovers, 1.4 steals. This is an interesting roto pickup guy. Just kind of one of those guys that he's kind of like the three-point shooting version of John Luehr, where it's like you look at the numbers and it's like, really? Is this guy...
Yeah, doesn't hurt you anywhere.
Any good
has
at all.
Has a very defined role. Because like on a team like the Jazz, you know, you're wanting Dante Exum or whoever to like kind of shine. But it's even like Brogdon and like Richardson, the guys we just talked about. There are certain guys who thrive when they're not the focal point, when they're not counted on to do a whole too much. And so like
Ingles, Joe Ingles.
He's like Boris Dia, used to be in fantasy.
Ranks 86th in Roto in the month of December.
Go Joe. So, Jingles.
Cut him loose, Rajon Rondo, I think, it, like we talked about earlier. Tim Frazier, sadly, I believe he has two DNPs in a row, has lost his role, and Tyreek Evans' minutes are only going to go up, so I think at this point, Tim Frazier is absolutely cuttable. If you're in a deep league and you want to hang on to him, the two guys ahead of him are certainly injury-prone in Jrue Holiday and Tyreek Evans, but in his current role, if you need help right now, Tim Frazier's not going to give it to you. And Marcus Morris, the Pistons have been messing around with their starting lineup. I think Tobias Harris moved out of the starting lineup a couple games ago, then moved back in. Marcus Morris came off the bench. Morris dealing with a knee injury, missed a game. But his production has really tailed off. He's averaging 9 points, 2.9 rebounds, 1.6 assists, shooting 30% from the field over the last 10 games. He did miss one of those games. And he's still playing 30 minutes per game, so it's not even like you can point to that. And it's just a situation with him where it's really hard to get excited about him, even in the good times. He's just one of those like solid, steady. You put him in your lineup, you don't have to worry about him. But now, I think he's droppable.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything particularly well. Yeah. He's
just like a C plus everywhere.
Yeah, he's the same size as Tobias Harris, but Tobias Harris is so much better.
Yeah.
You know, getting to the basket and things like that. So, yeah, go ahead and drop him.
All right, and before we move on to talk about the Week 11 schedule, we'll look at the last bit of injuries, news, and notes. Like I mentioned, John Luehr moved to the starting lineup. Donatus Motiejunas nearing a deal for the veterans minimum with the Pelicans. This is better than him returning to Houston.
Definitely.
But, you know, it's not going to be hard for him to beat out Omer Asik or Alexi Ajinsa if they want to go that route. But are they going to play him over Terrence Jones?
And I hope he's been hitting his three ball because that's about it's about the only upside he has.
He's 8% owned. That's probably too high. But if you want to go out and add him as a speculative flyer in a deeper league, go for it. I would guess he still... comes in behind Terrence Jones in the hierarchy there. Lance Stephenson, speaking of the Pelicans, is ahead of schedule in recovery from a groin injury, could return by mid-January. He is a free agent, but don't be surprised if he's someone who, like last season, ends up making an impact in the second half of the season.
I would love that. The league is a better place with Lance Stephenson doing crazy stuff.
He is hilarious. Courtney Lee dealing with a wrist injury. Brandon Jennings started in their last game for the Knicks with him out. Had 32 points, 5 boards, 7 assists, 3 three-pointers. Part of that was they were also playing without Kristaps Porzingis, who missed a game with an Achilles injury. That is not expected to be a serious one. He should be back. Start him in Week 11. But Brandon Jennings, if Courtney Lee's wrist becomes a lingering issue, he's someone that definitely could have some value moving
forward. He's kind of a nice stash candidate if you have an extra spot. Just good talent that they'll probably need in spots to do a lot. But, you know, we've seen it before.
Yeah. Paul Millsap will opt out of his deal this offseason, as reported by ESPN. That's not a surprise. Tim Hardaway Jr. scored 29 points for the Hawks on Sunday in a start. We'll see. If he can put together a couple of good games, he's an interesting guy to go look at, kind of in that Nick Young mold.
He does this all the time, though.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Once a month, he goes for 30. Yeah.
So if he can actually get some consistency. And Cameron Payne could return for the Thunder this Saturday. He's been...
campaigning to return.
That's it. They I don't know. I was going to say some campaign joke.
Champagne with your campaign?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Something with champagne, but no.
Shout out Ludacris.
Yeah.
You like him?
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook is just a world-destroying monster who doesn't leave any room for anybody else to really put up numbers there. But I guess, you know, if Victor Oladipo gets hurt, again, maybe campaign could have some value, but no, maybe. I'm not going to add him. Week 11 preview. The Jazz, as we mentioned earlier, play five games. That's a great thing for the likes of Gordon Hayward, Rodney Hood, Rudy Gobert, the guys that you were definitely starting already. Although Rodney Hood has been a little iffy lately. So, you know, maybe you were thinking about benching him. Don't do it in week 11. Derek Favors, this is a good opportunity for him. He has not been himself since coming back from that knee injury. And you have to think maybe they sit him out one of the during one of the back-to-backs that they have. But I would get him active. Shelvin Mack, as we mentioned, someone that you want to look at. And, you know, Joe Ingles. If you're looking for a streaming option, Joe Ingles is definitely worth a look. The best schedule in the league this week, Cleveland. They play, besides Utah, obviously, they play New Orleans, they play Chicago, at Brooklyn, at Phoenix. Should be a lot of points in those games, and no back-to-backs is the big thing. Because, you know, when they have back-to-backs, there's always the risk of LeBron, Kyrie, or Kevin Love sitting out. Don't have to worry about that this week. And the worst schedule, Minnesota. They're at Philly, which is a decent matchup, but then at Washington, and then they're home against Utah in a back-to-back to finish the week out. So always a concern when you have a back-to-back. You're not sitting LaVine, you're not sitting Wiggins, you're not sitting Towns, but everyone else, I think, can go on your bench.
Yeah, are there any point guards in that group that you would start Shelvin Mack over? Five versus three games, you know?
I would definitely start...
Like Ricky Rubio?
I would definitely start Shelvin Mack over Ricky Rubio. You look at the teams with three games. You know,
what about Lillard dealing with a little something? Is he back?
That's the. It sounds like he could be back for their next game, but with three games, maybe you're concerned. I think you.
That would be insane if you started Shelvin Mack.
Yeah,
over
you
Damian
still
Lillard.
Have to start Damian Lillard.
Maybe it does like end up working out, but yeah, when you're going to do that, there's no way you commit.
You still have to start him. But you look at some of the teams that have three games. You start Shelvin Mack over Tony Parker, Darren Williams, maybe even Reggie Jackson, who has been disappointing so far. Other than that, that's probably it. He's still a low-end guy with five games on the schedule, so you're not going to go crazy with him. All right, that's it. That's it for the Week 11 preview.
2017.
Good to be back. We'll have another podcast sometime later this week, and I believe I will be working Monday through Friday. Once, I believe, starting next week.
So. Schedule change.
Schedule change. Should be better for the podcast. Should have more opportunities. And that'll be good. Joe, as always, fun.
Indeed.
We'll talk to you next time.